Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com. My guest is Randy Flores, the former Cardinal reliever who now runs the Cardinals draft. The Major League Baseball draft is upon us, and the Cardinals will have four picks in the first 95. Their bonus purse has swollen to nearly $8 million this year. The current roster of the Cardinals has four first-rounders from the years 2011 through 2014. So you get the idea. The first-rounders are very, very important. Randy Flores is the Cardinals' director of scouting. He sees all aspects of the Cardinals' scouting department, which includes the amateur draft. Our visit with Randy is presented by Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. Visit him at thehomeloanexpert.com. Randy joins me on Scoops with DannyMac.com. And Randy, first of all, thanks for being a part of the website. I'm sure right now this is a culmination of a lot of hard work in the next few days. Give our fans an idea what's happening at Busch Stadium right now and how excited are you for the upcoming draft?
Well, right now it's a lot of activity. We as you said, we brought everyone in for the draft as we always do for our prep. And what I think is, one of the things that makes it special is not only do we bring in, our part-time scouts, we bring in our full-time scouts, our long-time scouts, people who have just started and this their first draft. We also have our entire analytics and front office department. And so you get all those people in one room talking about the players that we've worked so hard to see and evaluate over the last few months. And now it's getting into years when you follow a guy from high school through college. And it's really good to see all of those personnel come together in prep of the great day that starts Monday.
Give us an idea of how many people that is. You just went through all the different departments, but how many people will be in the quote-unquote war room coming up on the draft day?
Yeah, so we break it up into pieces, and I say that at its biggest, it could get close to about 50. When you wind up looking at those who are in their internship programs with us, you look at our baseball development on the analytics side, on the web development side, on the front office, obviously with our general manager, our president, our new assistant general manager, we bring in our doctors, our head of performance. And so that main group can swell close to 50 or so. And then we do have breakout sessions where we will divide them up by their area or we'll divide them up by role. And then you could be in groups as small as three or four. But the big group, it's pretty fun to see them all come together.
Anybody that watches Cardinals baseball, they know I'm a huge Randy Flores fan. I always mention he is the all-time winningest pitcher in USC history, which
if
I should.
I would, so thanks for doing it for me.
You bet. And I always try to catch up with you here and there, and every time I text you or call you, you're in a different city. Give me an idea of what your travel schedule is like and trying to evaluate and find new talent for the Cardinals.
You know, Dan, I try not to get too specific on the travel, and it's not so much because I don't want anyone to know where I go, but I just don't want to lionize what everyone else out there is doing. I'm just participating in what the role requires in prep of the draft. And so there is city hopping, and there is some significant travel, and there is a balance between trying to make sure that you have time to sit, review, think, and process, but also be there live or to take time to review video. And so the role and the way to scout has continued to evolve and will continue to evolve, but a component of the job is travel. And candidly, being in the office for the last few days of prep is a nice change from an airplane seat.
We'll leave it at that. The strength of this draft, where do you think it lies in a general sense?
You know, I get amazed, and I said this even my first one, on just the polish that is now going younger and younger, specifically going down to the high school players. And when you see and canvas the country, the velocity that you typically reserve for a bullpen guy in college who can let it loose, you're now seeing that in kids their senior year in high school, sustaining that velocity, into the fifth, sixth, and seventh inning. And so whether or not that stops becoming special or that's just something special about this draft remains to be seen, but there really does seem to be some depth on those arms.
Randy, how do you evaluate a guy that's had Tommy John and maybe industry-wide? How is that viewed? Is it almost a benefit that it's out of the way or that he doesn't have it yet? Because it seems like everybody's going to get it.
I don't know about that. I don't know about the whole out-of-the-way thing, but I do see the point in that, look, we always wonder about injury, and the thought might be that if someone has already had it, the success rates of returning to competition at an elite level are pretty strong. That being said, I think that I'd rather hope that someone has not had that happen to them already. Going specifically to how do you evaluate it, it depends on when that injury happened. If it happened in their high school career and now they're a college draft pick, well, you have some time to track whether or not they've returned to the level you thought they were. It gets a little tricky when it's someone who just recently had it and they are a college junior and had the surgery their sophomore year and didn't pitch their junior year or had the injury halfway through the junior year. And that's where it gets a little tricky, and we really lean on what we saw out of that player before and then lean on our performance department and our medical staff to come up with a gauge for what risk factors are involved in them returning to the level we thought they were.
I know fans that are listening to this are curious. Typically, the talent just seems to come from California, Texas, Florida, warmer states. But how about here in the Midwest and in specifically St. Louis or the state of Missouri? Do you see some talent that's potentially on your board?
Oh, we do. You know, and so when you talk about talent on our board, those are players that are cross-check or national cross-check level. Those are people that you would consider drafting on day one of the draft. Or the top 100 players as you go into maybe the third or fourth round. You certainly do see that in the Midwest. And you know what? It's a testament to the facilities and the investment that now goes on in places that don't require the sun to be out, you know, 360 days a year. You know, growing up in Southern California, I took it for granted that every day, basically, you could go outside and practice your sport. And that isn't usually the case in the Midwest. But now, with the facilities and with the training staff, with the curriculum and the investment that communities in this area has given to the sport, you're seeing players from this area, not just in college, but high school level, who have talent, even in the upper Midwest, where it's, you know, obviously at another level of cold, are in consideration for day one picks.
I'm curious, and I know fans are curious about this, and you can't get into specifics, but you have analytics. You mentioned you've got a medical department. You have the guy that's out there grinding every single day, the old school scout. How do you balance all that to try to come up with a pick?
You know what? That's a great question. It's one that I think industry-wide we're all looking to hone. Balance there is the key. And where we're moving towards is trying to be more transparent in the grades and assessment of each three components that you mentioned, analytics, medical/performance, and scouting. And the hope is that without having the evaluations of each of those categories siloed, but instead open and transparent, that trust builds, and that trust builds into the best combination of those three evaluations.
When you draft a kid, what happens? Who's making the phone call? Who's talking to the kid or the parent or the advisor? How does it all go down?
Well, for each situation, it's different. With there being 40 rounds of the draft, and obviously we also have been active in the non-drafted free agent market, those passed over. And so each of those situations can be unique. Sometimes it depends on whether or not the player is still playing in their collegiate season. The draft is earlier this year than last year, and so there not only is a regional that's going to be played before the draft, you still have a super regional and then still Omaha. And so the pace of talking with agents and the pace of talking with the kid depends on where they are in their career. And so it could be anything from the area scout reaching out to myself, to Mo or Gersh reaching out to the player, depending on where they fit on that board and their particular situation.
I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. If you're even considering buying a home this year, get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. Don't be the only offer on the table without a pre-approval letter from thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
Can you explain to a fan how the bonus money works and the pool money and that kind of thing and where the Cardinals are with that right now?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing if for Cardinals fans who have been paying attention to knows that last year we did not have a big bonus pool. Our first pick last year was at pick 97. And so the entire draft happened all the way picks 1 through 96 until it was our first turn to select at pick 97. So not only was that constrained because we missed out on the opportunity at those picks, you missed out on the money attached to those bonuses. The draft now works on a slot basis. There is a pool of money by which you can spend on the draft, and there are severe penalties if you go over that threshold. And so when we did not have those picks, we also did not have the money attached to those picks. And so our pool to acquire talent was different than in years past. This year, our first pick is at 19. And so you will now have several picks this year before we had our first pick in the 2017 draft. And so the dialogue going on in our meetings and in our scouting, the way we've scouted and the types of players we've scouted is significantly different last year than this.
Do you have a theory, Randy, or does the club have a theory on take the best talent available no matter what position, or do you draft for need to fill spots in what you think might be a potential major leaguer down the road or maybe something that's deficient in the minor league system?
Yeah, I think that changes at different spots in the draft. And so as you get towards the end of the draft, you are oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes drafting to specific needs. We do have three short season clubs, and not all teams have three short season. Short season clubs are typically where you send your youngest players or most recently drafted players. And so when you have three rosters to fill, that's a couple catchers, a couple infielders, a couple outfielders, all the way through times three. And so sometimes, not always, but sometimes you are drafting towards needs for those spots. But in general, you are looking for the best fit for that round, and where that might one point be a need for that round, at another point it might be the best player on that round. And if there is a tie, you're leaning towards the best player. The other component of that not mentioned in that need and talent is signability. And I think that that's something that we work really hard and the industry does is to engage and assess the appetite and willingness of a player to start their professional career. Should college or junior college be an option for them?
Is there an industry-wide feeling, or even with the Cardinals, because the game has gotten so young at the major league level, and that's where it's all going, that maybe you say, well, let's draft college player X, pitcher or position player, because he's more polished instead of having to groom that player maybe for a 4 or 5 or 6 year period? Is there any direction that has gone between high school and college players in terms of how you look at a draft?
You know, my hope is that if you look at just the last couple years, that there's balance there and that you could pick any one player from our draft and say, oh, the Cardinals are leaning with youth and upside, you know, when you look at some of our recent high school picks. And then you could also flip that and look at some of our recent picks the last couple years and been like, oh, the Cardinals are pitching focused, because you could make a case that we are. And you could also then make a case, if you look at other picks, the Cardinals are looking for polished collegiate position players. And you could look at some other picks and decide and make a case that that's it. My hope is that looking at all those buckets shows that we are open to a variety of players from a variety of backgrounds to have a balanced set of prospects, portfolio prospects, and then let them develop according to where they are on their path.
I got to ask you, what is more pressure for Randy Flores, pitching in Game 7 of the NLCS or trying to make sure you make the right pick?
You know what? That's a great question. I think that at the time when you're a player, it's a myopic focus and very self-centered. I mean, you're aware in some sense of the stands around you and the city supporting you and the people watching on TV, but in a lot of ways you're focused inward on just making sure that you attend to the task at hand so that you can have results, so that then your team can succeed, so then that the fans can be happy, and on and on and on. When you're in this role and you're about to pull a magnet, you're acutely aware of all the work that goes in from countless people who are working towards the pulling of that magnet and have contributed in so many ways to that magnet, and you're conscious of the effect of the decision and how it might affect the game that's going on below you down in Busch Stadium as we have the draft here and we're looking at that real-life game of Major League players. And then you look in the stands and you see how this community embraces this game and this team. And so the weight of the moment is certainly something you're more cognizant of in this role than while on the mound.
What is it like for Randy Flores to sit in the box, which you'll probably do next week, and you'll be extremely busy? You'll have a chance to see some of the guys that you drafted in the major leagues and contributing. What is that feeling like for you? It has to be tremendous.
You know what? I look forward to that. And as of right now, you know, with me being this early in my tenure, it have not yet had that, hey, that guy down on that field is someone who I recall his story from our scout. I'm looking forward to that. What I do see is I see that in the eyes of my bosses and of our team who know the personal story, whether that's draft, free agent acquisition, a trade, a waiver claim, whatever it is, they know the story that got that player to a Cardinals uniform here in this great city competing on that field. And I look forward to matching the look they have in their eyes as they watch the game.
Randy, get a little sleep if you can, and we really appreciate your time. I know how busy you are, and thank you very, very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Dan.
That's Randy Flores, and the Major League Draft is now here. A quick reminder that I've added the Minor League Report to Scoops with Danny Mac on Tuesdays and Fridays, a closer look at the Cardinals minor league system. I'll also be adding Mondays with Mo, a weekly visit with Cardinals president John Mozeliak. This has been brought to you by Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. Visit him at thehomeloanexpert.com. Thanks for stopping by Scoops with DannyMac.com.